Hi, and welcome to the Church Unlimited podcast. Church Unlimited is a vibrant, Bible-based church in North Lakes, Queensland that is passionate about helping people discover the genuine love of Jesus. If you're currently looking for a home church, we would love for you to join us for Sunday worship. For more information about our Sunday service or to find out how we can best help you, head to our website at churchunlimited.com.au. We hope you enjoy this message from Sunday service.
It's good to be in church tonight. Is everyone excited to be in church? That's good, that's good. Hey, if you've been in church the last couple of weeks, you would have heard we've started our Church on Mission series at church, and Pastor James kicked us off last Sunday morning, and we're reading from, talking about kind of what our church mission is, and we're reading from Matthew 4, verses 19, where it says, "Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And so that kind of hits our kind of five things that we're, as a church, this is what we do. Know, belong, grow, serve, and tell. Tell and serve, sorry. And so we want to know God. We want to belong in His family. We want to grow to be more like Him. We want to serve the Lord, and we want to tell others about Jesus. And if you were in church this morning, you would have heard Pastor Dan brought a phenomenal message about knowing God. And if you weren't in church this morning, make sure you jump onto YouTube or the podcast or something like that, and because it was a really incredible message. And Pastor Dan this morning talked about kind of the five revelations that we can know about God. And he talked about how God is our Father, He is our Forgiver, our Restorer, our Healer, and He finds joy in our return. And so I think it's an incredible message, honestly. I loved it this morning, Pastor Dan. It was good. So we talked this morning about kind of things that we need to know about God. What can we know about God? And tonight I get to preach about knowing God also. But I want to talk about how do we go from knowing about God to knowing God? How do we know God? Because we talked a bit about knowing God, but how do we know God? And so Psalm 139 verses 1 to 6 says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it." God knows us inside out. He's intimately acquainted with all of my ways, with all of our ways, and He invites us to know Him also. And so I think it's a pretty incredible thought that God knows us so intimately, and He invites us to know Him as well. And so I think when you start to know God, everything changes, right? Everything changes when you know God. And so I want to take a bit of a journey along tonight about how can we, as Christians, and as maybe we're not Christians in the room, not yet, how can we go on that journey of knowing God? And so I think there's, when it comes to people and God, there's kind of three relationships, right? There's people who maybe don't know God or aren't Christians. Maybe they know a little bit about Him, but they don't know God. The second type is there's people who have maybe had an experience, had a moment where they've met God and are encounter with God and kind of now go on with life as normal. And then there's people who meet God and have a relationship with God, and everything changes, right? We need to go from having a head knowledge of God, knowing about God, to a heart experience. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Let me put this in. Every time I preach, if you've heard me preach before, I'll often talk about two things. It's my kids. I'm not talking about my kids tonight. And it's of course, it's going to be power stations, right, Dan? No, of course, it's NRL. Right? And so I want to tell you about three relationships that I've had or kind of encounters I've had in my life. I want to start by telling you the story of the greatest man to ever play NRL. His name is Jonathan Thurston. You might know him as the King in the North. Any Jonathan Thurston fans here tonight? Any Cowboys fans? We've got a good audience here tonight. Everyone's loving it. So this next couple of analogies are going to go right over your head, but just stay with me. I promise you it'll be good. It'll be good. It'll be good. Let me tell you a few stats about Jonathan Thurston, right? We're in for a good night. He's played 323 games of NRL. He scored 90 tries. He scored a total point scoring of 2,222. And he was born in April of 1983. He's got an autobiography. I've read his book. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good book. If you want to borrow, let me know. I'm the local library around here. I know so many facts about Jonathan Thurston, right? I've the 2015 Cowboys Grand Final where we won the premiership. I've watched it at least 7 times, right? I know it's a bit nerdy, but there's people who watch movies 7 times. Right? What's the difference? All right. But if I was to go up to Townsville, that's where he lives. I'm going up to Townsville and I'm going to walk down the main kind of like the beachfront of Townsville. It's called the Strand. I'm going for it's not a beautiful walk. I'm just going for a walk down there. It's a beach, but they ship sand in from Mackay. It's ridiculous, right? Lucky we don't live in Townsville, right? And if I'm going for a walk down the Strand and I see Jonathan Thurston coming, straight away my head and my heart is like, man, I'm going to go and say hello to Thurston. I'm going to go and make that connection with him. And if I'm to walk up to him and say, JT, my brother, how you going? Give him a slap on the back. I guarantee you he's going to be like, who is this nut job? Who is this clown? And I'll be like, no, mate. I watched all of your games, all 323 games. Man, I watched the grand final 7. This guy is going to be like, that's great. Cool, man. Cool. Just get your photo and get the heck out of here, right? I know so much about Jonathan Thurston, but if I was to meet him, man, the guy's got no idea who I am. So many Christians live life like that, where we've got such a head knowledge of God, where we've learned so much. My story is I grew up in church my entire life. I was the kid who fell asleep on the first row underneath the chairs. And when it was communion time, I made sure I stole a couple extra ones so I could get a feed during church. I grew up in church and I started playing drums at church when I was 11 because my dad was on the words team at church. And so I was there. So I just come along and started playing drums. And I grew up in church my whole life. And I had such a head knowledge of God because I'd sat through all the sermons and heard all the things. But my relationship with God was based on my parents' relationship with God. My relationship with God wasn't actually a relationship at all. It was a circumstantial event that happened. So when mom and dad were going through a rough time and, were a bit angry at God or something like that, I was too. I don't know why, but I was because that's where my relationship was built. And when I grew up and in my teenage years and all my friends were Christians, I'd call myself a Christian too and we'd go to church together. And then when my friends on the weekend would go out partying together, I'd go out partying on the weekend because my relationship with God was based on other people's relationships. I knew a lot about him, but I actually didn't have any kind of relationship with him at all. Let me tell you some more. A couple other relationships in my life. Another fantastic Cowboys person, Jason Tamalolo. Let me tell you a few stats about him, right? He was born in 1993. Anyone born in 1993? No, really? 92? What, 92? 94? No, I'm running an auction. 94, 94, I got 95, 95, 96 up the back. Right? So Jason Tamalolo has played 553 games. Do you know he's the only forward in NRL to win the Dally M? It's a pretty interesting fact. The more you know, right, Dan? Right? Do you know, I was actually it goes further than just head knowledge on Jason Tamalolo. In 2016, I had the opportunity to actually meet the guy. Right? I think we've got a photo there. Show that photo. That's me next to a walking fridge. Look at the size of the fella. I actually had an opportunity to meet him. It was like the best night of my life. I was friends with his older brother. We went to church together on the Sunshine Coast and there was a game at Suncorp and we went to the game and it was awesome. And he said, hey, do you want to come to the hotel afterwards and meet Jason and some of the guys? I was like, oh, yeah, if I have to. I was inside. I'm like a giddy schoolgirl. I'm like, the Wiggles. Like I'm super pumped. I was super pumped, right? And I met Jason and we sat and we had a chalky milk together and it was fantastic, right? And then I left and that was it. That was it. And if I'm to run into Jason in the street now, I go up to him and say, Jason, my brother, how are you? And he'd be like, yep. How are you, mate? How are you? Good. And he's like, depart from me. I never knew you, right? But in my head, I'm like, I had a moment that changed so much in my life. That's like my claim to fame story. If anyone says, have you met anyone famous? I'm like, yeah, me and Jason Tamalolo were friends. We got a photo together. But if I was to meet him again, he'd be like, mate, I don't know who you are. And this is so much like some of our journeys here tonight where we've had that moment where we know a lot about God and we've actually had a moment where we actually met him. We had that encountering moment, but nothing has changed. We go on living our life. We haven't developed that relationship. We haven't invested into that relationship. Now let me tell you about one more relationship I want to use tonight. He doesn't play for the North Queensland Cowboys. I don't think he's ever played sport ball in his life. Mr. Daniel James. Now, Dan James, I met Dan a long time ago. We used to work at our old church together, and And I knew a lot about Dan. I'd heard people talking about Dan all the time. And then once a month at my old church, I used to run worship for our church, and there was seven campuses there at the time. And once a month, we'd get all of the campus passes and oversights together, and we'd catch up and do mandatory. Does anyone love mandatory fun? Like, love that. And so we do mandatory fun. It would often be basketball or something like that. And I'd often find myself sitting on the sideline with Dan. Like, no one cares about playing basketball. Anyway, maybe you do. That's your story. But I'd often find... So I'd met Dan, and we'd had some chats, and we went for a coffee one time. I remember that. Went for a coffee one time, and then... But it wasn't until... that was a long time ago, but it wasn't until a couple of years ago when my wife and I, we moved down to Church Unlimited here, and I got to know Dan. We work together now, and we hung out. We get coffee together. You've been to my house a couple of times, Dan. Inside and outside, it's been brilliant. And so I've gotten to know Dan over the last little bit, and he's actually become one of my closest friends, right? And so now whenever I see Dan down the shops, sometimes he tries to ignore me, I reckon. But we stop and then we have a chat because we're friends, right? Because that was a relationship that I didn't just meet Dan or hear about Dan. I know some stuff about Dan, but we invested in a relationship, and we fostered a friendship there, and it's bloomed into something quite special, I think, Dan. And so, I went from knowing a lot about Dan to actually becoming a good friend with Dan. And so, you know, you may have had this moment where you've met Jesus along the path somewhere. Maybe you haven't, and it's been a long time. And you feel so far away from God because it's not a relationship you've invested in or that you've put time into. And so, I know that's been those three kind of examples has been my story with Christianity. I grew up, like I said, I grew up in a Christian household, and I knew a lot about God. And then I had a moment when I came back to church where I had an encounter with God, and a pretty amazing encounter with God that changed so much in my life. But it wasn't until I started investing into that relationship with God when everything truly changed. Right? Like when I gave my life back to Jesus when I was 20, 21, I had a pretty incredible moment where I felt God talk to me so clear that he's called me to come and build his house. And I had this moment. And do you know what? The next morning I woke up and nothing had changed. I woke up and I didn't know the Bible inside out. I was a bit shocked. I woke up, I'm like, I had an encounter with God and I can't levitate now. Like, what's happened, right? Like, nothing had changed. I had this moment where so much had happened in my heart, but I woke up and nothing had changed. It wasn't until I started to invest into my relationship with God where everything just started to change. The way I talked changed, the way that I acted changed, the way that I operated changed. And you see, it goes from head knowledge to a heart experience when we start to take action, when we start to invest. And so those who have a personal relationship with God, they include God in their daily lives. In Luke, it talks about how we need to take up our cross daily. It's a daily decision. It's a relationship we need to invest in. And so what does it mean to truly know God? Well, the fundamental difference between knowing about God and knowing God is a personal relationship. Having a personal relationship with God begins the moment that we realize that we need him. When we admit that we are sinners and in faith receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. See, God, our Father, has always desired to be close with us in relationship, right? Like we can go back to Genesis, we see that where Adam and Eve walked. It says that they walked in the garden with God, conversating with God. They had an intimate relationship with God. And then because of the sins of man or woman, we have been separated from God in that relationship, right? And so now we need to, you laugh because you know it's true. So now we need to take action to kind of foster that relationship with God. Now, this is truly our first step to having a relationship with God, is giving our life to him. And so if that's you tonight and you don't know that, we're going to pray for that a bit later on. I'm excited to pray with you. I'm going to pray for that a bit later on. What I'm trying to say is it's not about a one encounter or a one moment. See, I believe that in a moment, in an instant, God can change everything. I believe in one moment, God can set you free of depression. I believe in one moment that God can heal your body from cancer. I believe that in one encounter, one touch from heaven can change everything, right? I believe that wholeheartedly. But it's so much more than that. So much more than just having an encounter. We're called to have a relationship with him. And how many times have you met people who live for the encounter? They live for the next Sunday. I can't wait for next Sunday's worship when I'm going to get my encounter with God. Can I tell you right now, so much more than that encounter with God on a Sunday is that relationship, walking with him daily. And so how do we get to know God? I've got 3 points for us here tonight. But it's not like a one and all. It's kind of all three. This is three things that we need to foster in our lives in order for us to get a truly know God and get a relationship with Him. And so number one is to spend time reading His Word. A great way to know God, especially if you're a new Christian or new to church, is to read the Bible, right? I talked about reading JT's book. I read Jonathan Thurston's book because I wanted to know more about him. I wanted to know what made the guy tick. I wanted to know what his childhood was like. I wanted to know what his playing career. I read his book because I wanted to know more about him. Hello, you want to get to know God? How about you read the Word of God? How about you read the Bible, right? Like, the Bible is not just a collection of great stories. It's kind of key for our journey, right? 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 and 17 says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." You see, it's not just a great collection of stories. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And too often I think we can think that reading the Bible is just some great stories, that's some great children's stories that helps kids grow up and grow up with good morals, but it's so much more than that. You see, it's almost like a bit of an instruction booklet on how we should live our life, right? Like in the Bible, it's full of things that we should do as Christians to live good, godly lives. Now, I'm not saying that the book is like a checklist that if you do this, 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 you'll be saved. Now, we know, and maybe you don't, but tonight you're not saved by works. It's not about what you do, right? Our salvation comes from grace. It's all about what God did on the cross for us, not about what we've done or what we can ever do. But let me put it like this. When me and my wife first started dating back in 2009, we started dating. And at the time, I had a Hilux Ute, a single cab Hilux Ute. It had a 4-inch lift on it and 35-inch tires. And I had hair back then; it was a lot longer. And when we started dating, one thing you got to know about me is that my music style, I like the heavier variety of music, right? Like that's who I am. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but I drink coffee, and you obviously drink tea. Like I know that's my deal, right? My wife is, how should we say, a tea drinker also. And so when we started dating, whenever we'd go out for a date somewhere or go down the beach somewhere nice, the Strand, somewhere nice, JT spotting, we would, whenever we get in the car, my wife does not like the heavier variety of music. She likes Tay-Tay Swift, right? Like she loves old Tay Swift. And so you better believe whenever Jess got in the car, my music changes. I'm putting on Taylor Swift, right? Set the mood. I know. Because I understand, right, for me to grow in relationship with Jess, there were some things I actually just needed to cut out of my life and sacrifice a bit, because I know that's something that Jess loves. I know that was something that Jess appreciated. And so you got to understand, it's not about a list of rules to live by, but when we truly want to have a relationship with God, there's some things that we're going to have to cut out of our lives. There's some things that just don't belong anymore, because we want to build a relationship with God. Jeremiah 15 verses 16 says, "Your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." Became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. I tell you, after listening to that much Taylor Swift, it becomes a bit of a joy. It becomes a little bit of a joy. I'm going to go out there and say that Taylor Swift's album Fearless is one of the best pop albums ever brought out. And I'll fight you on it because it's just a good album. It became a joy to me. The more time that I spent with Jess and getting to know what she likes and what she doesn't like, when we first started dating, I couldn't handle any hot food, right? I could not handle spicy food. KFC Zinger Chicken was like, call the Ambos, give me the green whistle. We're going downhill pretty quick, right? And when we started dating, that was me. I'm like, and Jess is like, "Oh, would you like some salt and pepper?" "Hold the pepper, thanks. I can't handle that. I need to fluff my pillow and go to bed." Right? And as we started dating, going along, and Jess's whole family loves spicy food, I started eating lots of spicy food. And I love it now. I'm a big fan. I eat spicier food than Jess does. I love it. I'm a big fan. But because as we got to spend time together, it became a joy. The things that for me before were an effort or I have to listen to Taylor Swift again, became a bit of a joy for me, because in order to build that relationship, there were things in my life that I just had to cut out and change. And so regularly reading the Word of God, it focuses our thinking so that we can grow in our maturity, so we can grow in our Christian calling. It's not about it's not about sacrificing things so we might be worse off. It's actually about cutting things out of our life so we might grow. And reading the Bible is not a list of rules and regulations. It's how can we live a life that's going to please God? And so, have you ever met a mature Christian who doesn't read the Bible regularly? If you have, I promise you, they're not a mature Christian. Sorry. Was that bad to say? I don't know. We're called to grow in our relationship with God. And so, if you're here tonight, you're like, what does that look like? Reading the Word of God. I'm not saying you've got to start from Genesis and go all the way to the back, especially if you're a new Christian. You're going to get lost in a lot of names and a lot of different stuff. But get with your grow group leader or one of your leaders at church and have a bit of a Bible plan that can teach you how to read the Word of God. It's not about how much you're reading. It's about that you are learning and you are growing in Christ and growing in your relationship with Him. Number two, spend time talking to Him. So we're going to read about Him and we're going to spend time talking to Him. Prayer is simply having a conversation with God. You have conversations all the time, every single day. And that's what prayer is. It's having a conversation with God. It's communicating with Him. You know, I once read in a study, that's right, I read studies, that 65% of divorces are due to a lack of communication. It's pretty massive, right? Another one was 63% of employees have considered quitting their job just due to a lack of communication or poor communication. So in order for a healthy relationship, communication is pretty key. It's a pretty big deal, right? My wife and I have been married for, this is 13 years this year we've been married. I can't imagine going that 13 years and not talking to Jess about everything. We talk about everything, right? When I'm feeling happy, sad, stressed. And whenever we're going through a rough patch in our marriage, it's generally because we're not talking. It's generally stuff that's happened that we're not talking about, that we're not sharing how we're feeling. And so I talk to Jess about absolutely everything. And I think too often as Christians, we can treat God like a Telstra call center. Right. I used to work at a Telstra call center in Townsville. It was for NBN tech support, and I would answer the phone and, "Welcome to Telstra. This is Ray. How can I help you?" And people never call. People never call to say, "Hey, Ray, how you going? Ray, I just want to let you know my internet, it's cruising. It's so good. I just want to let you know. Thank you." No one ever does that, right? And too often we treat God like our Telstra call center, where when things are not going good, that's when we go to God. That's when we talk to Him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being in a relationship with someone where every time they spoke to you was just about all the rubbish that's happening in their life or how bad they're feeling about everything? No, because a part of a healthy relationship is talking when things are going good, when things are going bad. See, Jess and I, we talk about everything. When I'm feeling stressed about something, we're talking about it. When I'm feeling happy about something, we're talking about something. And God doesn't want to be your call center. He wants you to talk to Him daily in the good times and in the bad times. Prayer is about more than just letting God know what you want. It's about listening for His voice. And if I can sum up the importance of prayer in one kind of big reason, it's because prayer helps us grow closer to God. When we pray, we're welcoming God to be in every part of our lives. And the more time you spend talking and listening to God, the more we draw closer to Him, and naturally He draws closer to us. And so how do we pray? Can I tell you now, I'm just going to like assume that not everybody prays all the time. And so just go with me on this journey here. It's just like talking to anybody. This is what my morning prayer looks like. Every morning I spend some time in prayer and worship. And my prayer is, "Morning, God. Just want to say thanks for my family." You don't have to be all, "Oh, Heavenly Father, who art there when the heavens all up above, who then whisper the earth into being, would you come down and inhabit my bedroom as I converse with you?" No. It's just like talking to a friend. It's just like, can I tell you right now, you might have heard me tell this story before, but a few years ago now, I had my best mate passed away from cancer. He had terminal cancer and passed away, and he was a good man. He was a good God-loving man. He was a pastor at a church, and he passed away. And can I tell you that night, how real and raw my prayer was? It was, "God, I'm in need. God, I need you. God, this sucks." Your prayer doesn't have to be polished. Prayer is not about reciting the right words so that God may come down and hear you speak. It's about talking to somebody like I'm talking to you tonight. If you don't know how to pray, can I just tell you right now, it's as easy as talking to Him. And so we've talked about reading the Word of God. We've talked about talking with God. And then number three is spend time with Him in His presence. The best way to get to know somebody is to spend time with them, right? James 4 verses 8 says, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." The more time that we spend with God, the closer He will draw Himself to us. God is not like a weird stalker kid from school, right? Anyone else had a weird stalker friend at school? If you haven't, you're probably that person, so maybe don't put your hand up. But we had this kid in my school. I'm not going to say his name because we're friends on Facebook. I'd hate for it to get back to him that he was the weird kid. But this kid, we had a group of friends, and then this kid would always just be hanging around. We'd be having lunch, we're sitting there playing handball or something. He'd just be there, just standing, just watching, wanting to be a part of. And so he would just follow us around everywhere. He was everywhere that we were, this kid was. And he was we'd be like walking along, and you look back, he's like, huh! He's like right there, right? And I remember one time we had an idea. This was before I was a nice person. We had this idea of, oh, we're going to play with him. Let's involve him in one of our games. And so let's call him Stephen for tonight. And we said, Stephen, we're going to play hide and seek at lunchtime. You can see where this is going. And so he was pumped. He was so excited. He's like, yeah, I can't believe I get to be a part of this. And then we said, okay, you're going to be it. We need you to count for 30 seconds and we're going to go hide somewhere. You need to come find us. And when you find us, you know, you can punch us or something like that, right? They made it a bit more fun. Right, rather than just a bunch of grade 12s playing hide and seek. And he was keen, right? So he's counting. And then we went to the car park, got my mate's Commodore and went back to his house, ordered pizza and went for a swim. I wasn't always a nice person. God is not like that weird stalker kid. He's not following you around every moment going, hey, Dan, I want to be a part of your life. Hey, Dan, what are you doing today? Dan, can you be that? Right? God wants to be in your everyday life, but he wants us to draw close to him. He wants us to have him in our lives. He wants us to spend time with him. See, people you hang out with sometimes can be emotionally draining. God's not like that. When you spend time in the presence of God, I promise you, you're going to be filled up. When you spend time with the Lord, I promise you, you're going to be a better person because of it. John 15 verses 4 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. See, when we spend time with God, everything changes. When we spend time in his presence, we start to bear fruit. We start to speak differently. We start to act differently. I promise you, you're going to be better for it. I promise you, it's going to change your life when you spend time in his presence. And so what does that look like? What does it look like to spend time in God's presence? There's a couple of different ways. I think, first of all, a great place is coming to church every week. When you get around like-minded Christians and you spend time in the house of God, worshiping him, hearing from the word of God, and spending time in his presence, it's a great way to spend time with God. But can I tell you, it's about more than that. It's about each and every day. I don't know what it looks like for you, for me. I spend some time every morning in prayer. I read the word, and then I put some worship music on, and I just sit. I just sit in God's presence. I start to learn more about, start to hear his voice. You know, when you start to get to know somebody really well. My wife and I were sitting on the couch the other day. I can't even remember what we were watching and I can't remember what was said, but something was said on the TV and we both looked at each other. It wasn't even funny. It was something like, and Steve's chair was purple, and we looked at each other. We killed ourselves laughing because we had this inside joke, right? We had this connection that we just spent so much time together that we just know how each other thinks. We just know how each other acts. We know what each other's going to say. And the more time you spend in the presence of God, the more you start to hear from him, the more you start to hear his heart for your life, the more he starts to speak to you, the more he starts to reveal things that he has for you. And so each and every one of us, we're all called to know God more and more each every day. And as we talked about tonight, it's not just about a once-off moment, it's about intentionally taking steps towards him. And so like most other things in our life, it requires faith, it requires action. If I can get the band to come and join me. Luke, like we said before, Luke 9 verses 23 says, and he said to all, if any would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. See, it's a daily decision. It's not always as easy as that one encounter moment and everything changes. Sometimes it's a bit hard. Sometimes it's a bit of a, you know, when I was getting to know Jess, not now, of course, but when I was getting to know Jess, there were some times I didn't want to listen to Taylor Swift again. There were some times I didn't want to sit and hear about your day at Donut King. Sorry, babe. There were some times I didn't want to sit and talk with Jess about the boring things of life, right? This is like a shock to everybody. If you're being shocked right now, it's because you've not been in a relationship. You don't understand that sometimes you don't want to talk about boring stuff, right? But I understood in order for our relationship to grow, in order for our relationship to grow and to get better, there was sometimes it was a bit of a sacrifice that I had to make. And it's the same with God. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, do I have to read my Bible again? No, you don't. You absolutely don't. But can I encourage you, for your relationship to grow with God, sometimes it's a bit of a sacrifice. Some mornings when I'm on the way to, when I'm running late for work, I'm like, oh, I would rather just sit and have a coffee at home, or I could spend time in His presence. Sometimes it's not as easy as we want it to be. Sometimes it's a sacrifice, and it requires us to take some action. My prayer for each and every one of us tonight is that no matter where we're at with our journey, whether we've been a Christian our whole lives, whether we've grown up in church and we've never really made that decision, my prayer tonight is that you would leave not the same way that you came in. And that sounds like such a cliche preacher thing to say, right? I pray that every person would leave being, but honestly pray that tonight, as I've spoken and we're going to take a moment to respond, I just pray that tonight nobody leaves the same way. That whether you've been a Christian your whole life or maybe you've never met God, that tonight we would take steps, we would just take some action. That we would go from not knowing God to knowing God. That we would go from knowing a lot about God to having a relationship with Him. That we would go from maybe having met Him and nothing's changed to taking steps so that everything changes. Would you stand with me here tonight, church? So we've been speaking so much tonight about not just that encounter, but that relationship that changes everything. That daily intimate relationship with Jesus. And when we truly know God, we can truly start to understand who we are in Him. And so tonight, would you close your eyes, everybody here tonight? I've been talking a lot about knowing God, and I'm aware that in a room with this many people, there might be some people here tonight who you don't know God. And I've been speaking about knowing God and I've been speaking about how we can get in relationship with Him, and you haven't had that moment yet. Or maybe you were like me, you've grown up in church your entire life and you've heard so much about Him, but tonight's a moment where you want to make that decision that everything will change from this moment forward. I would love to take a moment to pray with you tonight. And so if that's you, I'm going to get you in a moment just to pop your hand up and I'll see it and you can put it down again. The reason for that is just so I know who I'm praying with tonight. You can just give me a quick wave and pop it down again. But I'd just love a moment to be able to pray with each and every one of you. If that's you in this place tonight and you're saying, Ray, I want to go from not knowing Him to knowing Him. I want to take that first step into having a relationship with Jesus. And with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you in this place tonight, would you just pop your hand up and give me a quick little wave and you can pop it back down again. But I'd love to pray with you if that's you tonight. Awesome. I see that hand up the front here. Is there anybody else here tonight? God wants to be in relationship with you. He wants, as He knows you, He wants you to know Him. He wants you to be in relationship with Him. Not just have a great encounter, but have moments that change everything. Have a relationship that changes the way that you walk, you talk, the way that you live your life. Come on, one more moment. Is there anybody else here tonight I can pray with? No, that's awesome. Cool. Well, for this one person here tonight, church, can we pray this together? Can you repeat this after me? Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for the sacrifice your Son made on the cross for us. And Jesus, I pray from this day forward that you would help me to be in relationship with you. And Jesus, I thank you for the gift of salvation. Amen. Amen, amen. Hey, for that person tonight, one of our new Christians team would have seen you and they're going to come and give you a bit of a Bible and see how we can pray with you tonight. That's so exciting. I never get sick of seeing people give their lives to Jesus, eh?
Thanks for joining us. We pray that you and your family are richly blessed by the love and grace of Jesus. If you're ever in the area, we would love for you to join us for Sunday worship.